brought to you by Penguin.
My Monticello by Jocelyn Nicole Johnson. Read by Asia Naomi King.
Chapter 1. We claimed it first, this little mountain. Me and Ma Violet and a scattering of neighbors, all of us fleeing First Street after men came to set our row of tin-roofed homes on fire. The men came at dusk, blaring an operatic, "Oh, say, can you see?" White heads rose up from dusty jeeps and dark hair thrashed in a harsh new wind like tattered flags. "Ours," the men shouted. Their rifles gleamed as if they'd only just been bought, a megastore militia. Through a hasty breach in Ma Violet's blinds, I even saw a boy among them, blonde and sneering in a pickup window. Men leapt from back seats, sprang out of truck beds and rushed toward the faces of our homes. White hands clutched metal canisters, swung torches spilling flames. Bright shouts, the rising haze of smoke, all that and more rousted us out. From our patchy front yards, we saw bodies blur as some of our neighbors charged forward to try to stop them. We saw a teen struck with the butt of a rifle, his temple sprang red. A toddler flailed, diapered and clinging to its mother's hip as she sank knees first to the sidewalk. What we saw in those moments riveted us, and then it set us free. No plan of where to go until my eyes landed on the short jaunt bus parked along First, cloaked in its skin of stars and stripes. Ma Violet used to ride those small city buses which catered to seniors and folks with disabilities. This particular jaunt had sat out front for weeks, abandoned like so many vehicles ever since the grid went down. A break in a roaring line of jeeps, and Knox and I ran toward it, tugging Ma Violet between us, still in her pale house coat and slippers. Behind us, I saw Devin sprint out from between two buildings, metal shining in his mouth and on his hip. His twin cousins followed, the three of them gesturing wildly, drawing the armed men's attention. When we reached the jaunt, Ma Violet lurched to the top step, collapsing into an empty front seat. I slid in beneath the steering column where, by grace, keys dangled. Inside, a group of neighbors huddled along the brief aisle, their voices flowing toward us in recognition. A hush fell when Knox crested the landing after me, my college boyfriend, tall and white, wearing wire-rimmed glasses. My eyes hung on him, too, for a fraction of a moment, with me wondering rashly, why is it we love what we love? Those men with guns must have seen our shadows in the jaunt bus windows, a burst like fireworks, a jagged brightness. Then I heard a known voice shouting, "Go, go, go!" It was Devin's voice. He and the twins had shot back at the men as they made their way to us. They jumped on the bus and I stomped on the gas, gripping the steering wheel so tightly my palms ached for days. We did not so much peel out of First Street as fly away. That was the night we came and claimed this place. If not first exactly, then first since the dark new unraveling, when everything has been set free again, the way I see it. Not to mention our original due. Denied. Dismissed. But still there, teeming in our blood. At least, in Ma Violet's. And mine. Chapter 2. The men with fire came in the wake of great and terrible storms that felled historic trees and flooded City Hall. They came after the power failed us and our phones went glitchy and dark in our palms. In those moments, just after our cells all crashed, I witnessed a jet and a hospital copter both plunge from a rainless April sky. It was unclear whether we were under siege or whether the world was toppling under its own needless weight. In those surreal and collapsing weeks, brazen hordes of students refused to leave our college campus.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?